pet, pet. Two best friends who love to chat. Oh, what it's like to be an ant. Those who pant. Those who ant.
Hello, and welcome to Those Who Ant, the podcast that helps you see the world through ant-colored glasses. My name is Aunt Pat.
And I'm Auntie Mags.
Hi, Mags.
Hi, Pat. Look at you. You're all Christmassy.
Oh, well, you know, 'tis the season for the color red.
Yeah, that is true. Which for somebody like me who has almost no pigmentation in their skin, you know, like a pasty white sad person.
Okay.
Red is a great color, you know,
it's very good. It'll bring out any red that you do have. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It'll find it and point it out. You know, Normally I wouldn't wear red because it's really, it doesn't do people a lot of favors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I guess I got to point out the obvious is look at your shirt. Look at this bow. It's a very in pattern right now. That buffalo plaid. Everybody loves it.
Oh, like Buffalo Bill. Remember that movie?
Nope.
Okay.
I remember hearing the name. I know he did Wild West stuff, which is great. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of, but that's okay.
Oh, the killer, the skin suit. That one I know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dances with Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ugh, so scary.
I love that movie. It's a scary movie. It's a very scary movie. But you know what's not scary and is very, very Christmassy?
What?
My nephew, Vince, you know, my littlest dreamboat, he is doing a Christmas pageant. He's four.
Okay.
It's going to be so bad and so cute.
Right. Now, what does that mean? What does that remind me? Because I don't think I ever did one.
Oh, it's one of those things where everybody's a four-year-old and they have costumes on and the teachers whisper the lines to them just off stage.
Okay.
Very cute.
All right. And so is he going to play, what are the characters? There's animals.
There's animals. There's Joseph, Mary. You know, if this is a traditional Christmas pageant, which it is, I think at this school, I think he goes to a little religious school. But you know, and by the way, if you were listening to this podcast and you thought there's only one thing to celebrate this season, you could see yourself out of this podcast. There's a million things to celebrate this season. There's Hanukkah, there's Kwanzaa, there's whatever I don't care what you believe in. I love you for it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But he goes to a school where they're like, this is the main thing.
The main thing at that school. Yeah. Is that, you know, Joseph, Mary, the baby Jesus. I hope he's not the baby Jesus. I want him to have a speaking role.
Oh, if I was an actor, I would, you know, I like that. I like when you don't have lines because it seems like a lot of pressure. I'd love to be the baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be a corpse, you know, because I think those people get paid. I think you get paid similarly. Even if you're a corpse or the baby Jesus, you still, you know, they call it a day rate or something. And that's what I want. No pressure, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'd love to be a corpse on a show, on a crime show.
It would be the best.
Unless it's a humiliating one. If it's one of those ones where they're like, she died of being absolutely hideous and unsexable.
That would be bad. I thought you were going to say, you know, it was one of those corpses where she's not wearing pants, a shirt, but no pants. She died like Winnie the Pooh.
What is the rule? If I die when I'm naked, what is your job?
Oh, to put clothes on you immediately.
Thank you. And then call 911 or whatever.
I don't want any EMTs. I wouldn't want them seeing my business. They're judging it against all the other ones that they've seen. You know, I think that's opposite. When people say, oh, you can't be embarrassed in front of the doctor because they've seen it all. Yeah. And they're silently gauging. Where do you fall? They're not human anymore. They're looking at it and they're going, well, I don't know. This falls somewhere. I'm going to give it a 6.
Yeah. I don't want to be graded. I don't want to be graded on any of my pots. Yep. I agree. You know who I bet has seen some wonderful Christmas pageants in their day?
Oh, I thought you were going to say pots, which I agree though. I think he's seen pots as well.
Are you kidding me? He's so handsome. He's so lovable.
I bet this people show has him. To have. Yeah.
I bet you our guest walks around and people are like, hey, look at my pots and you tell me what you think.
Yeah, give what do you rating. Think? Right. Yeah. And pageants, though. Maybe equal number of Christmas pageants and pots.
I want to hear what he's got to say about it, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, mostly ladies, but however you identify, please. Welcome to the podcast, Uncle Marv.
Oh, how you look doing? At you. Oh. Hey, I give each of your parts 10 out of 10.
Oh my God. Now have you
seen? Oh my God.
Did I ever get drunk and show you mine?
Did either of us?
Oh.
No, I don't think so. I know. I remember every part that I've ever seen.
Oh, good for you.
You know what? You would, because you're a sensitive, caring person.
Yeah, that's
true. I got
true.
A photographic memory, you know, plus, you know, deep shame and guilt from Catholicism.
Oh, yeah. Right. Me too.
Oh, yeah. I guess shame will help you remember things. When I've ever done anything I'm ashamed of, that's mostly what I can remember. No accomplishments, mm-hmm. nothing good. Just when I've been full of riddled with shame, knowing, oh, this was bad. So yeah. I love that you're gauging our parts from a distance, from a clothed perspective. And that's really, that's kind of you. Yeah. That's why I like to be clothed.
I like to be clothed too. You know, you add a little mystery to your own parts. Yeah.
I want to be all mystery when it comes to my own parts. I don't want to know what's going down there. You know,
God, I don't want to either.
Yeah. You know that Fleetwood Mac song, I Don't Want to Know? That's what I sing to myself in the shower every day. Now tell us this, Marv. Have mm-hmm. you seen a Christmas pageant today? What's your take on them? What do you think? And follow up, if you could be in one, would you want a speaking role or would you want to be the baby Jesus?
You're talking about nativities, but, you know, with a kind of 3-act structure, something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, look at you, industry man. 3-act structure.
Not an industry man. I just love watching movies and I use my disposable income on all the different streaming platforms out there. But I'd say that, yeah, if I could be in one, I'd want a speaking role. I'd want to be the innkeeper or something. It was like, no room at the inn. And then later people are like, you know, the baby Jesus was just born in a barn. And I'd be like,
oh my God, you'd make it a comedy role.
Yeah. I'd be like, I can't believe I turned away the baby Jesus. You know, and I'd be like, Jesus Christ. And I'd be like, that's his name. And I'd be like, no, I was saying like, I can't believe it.
Excuse me. If I saw this rendition, this is what would bring people back to the arts. If you went and saw a pageant and that innkeeper, you couldn't keep your eyes off of him. I'm telling you, it really changes it and it keeps it light. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a small business owner. You're an innkeeper, right? This is your livelihood. There's no room at the inn. What do you want me to do?
These are my margins here, you know? Right. Like, I'm sorry. I can't even make an accommodation for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying, you know, that's where the economy is at these days. And then they're like, you know, he's the son of God. I'd be like, oh no.
And then they go straight to Yelp. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then the innkeeper shows up at the nativity scene at the creche. And he's like, here's a pillow. One of the guests doesn't want a pillow. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now you used a word there that I have not heard before. And I think it was creche. Was it creche?
Creche. Yeah.
Creche. What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
That's, you know, the creche is where the baby Jesus, I think, sleeps in the barn at the nativity scene.
Is that another word for hay?
Hay or
cradle?
I mean, I left my phone in the other room, so I can't look it up. But I think it's something like that. Yeah,
yeah, don't look it up. Nativity scene. The creche. Oh, like David Creche.
I was just going to say, isn't that the guy that did the Branch Davidian stuff?
Yeah. Creche. Oh, I wonder if that sounds related.
Might be a slant rhyme, ladies.
God. We just talked about slant rhymes last week.
We don't count them. Do you count them?
No. Uh-uh.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
You better correct with a solid rhyme.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's not a it's like a I came close rhyme, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm mad at poetry all the time anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. And I love this for you. I think it'd be really fun to do the pageant that way. More comedy. You know, I'm not that religious, you know, anymore. It's really tough for me. But if we could inject a little bit more humor, take it a little bit less seriously, I think I might come back, you know? Mm-hmm.
I agree. You got to give the nativity some punch. You got to, you know, you got to keep people's attention these days. So if you add a little farce into it, you know, maybe cops are chasing the innkeeper around the nativity scene.
Oh my God. What if it's the one guy we love from the Police Academy movies who does all the sound effects?
I would die.
Michael Winslow.
Yes.
And he's doing all the, I don't even know what voices he would be, sounds. Like if there was a helicopter, you know, even make it modern. Put a spotlight like there's a helicopter and he's making the sounds and he's a cop. I love this.
And this is why you need to show your work to the world. Okay, because you are such a great, yes, it is, both of you actually, but this is why you're such a great writer, Marv.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I write for myself, you know, and my nieces, obviously. Shout out to my nieces. I made you a little Christmas sign right here.
I love that.
Merry Christmas to my nieces, Uncle Marv.
Oh, that's the perfect amount.
It is, you did just the right amount. Now, you know, on this podcast, we have taken a hard stance on Funkles, which is fun uncles, because we believe that there's a level of carelessness that goes into being a Funkle, but you don't strike me as a Funkle. You're a uncle. You're a responsible uncle. You're a great uncle. And I want to get into that in a minute. I want to talk about your nieces, nephews, niblings. But I also wouldn't mind if you would tell everybody on this podcast how we met.
Of course. So I was working at Home Depot at the time, and I believe you two ladies came in looking for some light fixtures.
Yeah.
So I came over and I said, I don't think you're going to like that. I don't think that's modern. You seem like ladies with a lot of taste.
Right.
What about a fixture like this? You know,
We were put off right away because nobody's ever accused us of having taste. Am I right, Pat?
No, I thought I was like, where's my wallet? Because I thought maybe you'd come up and taken my wallet while you were giving us compliments.
Yeah, we thought it was a classic misdirect.
Right.
That's
right.
True. And it does feel like an accusation sometimes when people are like, hey, I like your style. It's like, excuse me, is this a setup?
Did you just do an accent?
No, you know, my on again, off again girlfriend, she says that sometimes when I say things, I say it in the rhythm of a British person, but with my normal accent. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder how that happened.
You know, like, do you think that's true?
Yeah.
You sound like Mr. Bean.
When he talks. Dangs us with his voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. When Mr. Bean talks, you sound just like what Mr. Bean would sound like if he talked.
Or I guess, you know what I should have said? What I think he sounds like, because he's so British. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In your mind's eye. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'd come in for scones, you know, wall scones. And because, you know, I knocked one of mine. It was too low. It was too low on the wall. And I really beamed myself when I go into the bathroom. And you're right. I was looking for those discount scones, but you said that those were discontinued even. So if I broke this one, I wouldn't be able to get another one. And I got to tell you, I really like the ones you pointed out. They're cute. I like them a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's nice to have something that looks like a face from afar, you know? So for lonely nights when you're in the house, you look around, you're like, something's looking at me. No, it's just a wall fixture, you know, but it helps. It can be spooky too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like yeah, when I, because sure. What I went in there for was I wanted a big door knocker like Ebenezer Scrooge has. Mm-hmm. I wanted a big one because, you know, I love A Christmas Carol. That's my favorite. And so I said, I want a door knocker that's going to make me think I've seen the face of a dead business partner. You know what I mean? and you were like, don't do that. That's foolish.
Yeah, that'll scare you, you know?
Yeah.
Well, my nieces are in college, so they're really big into, marijuana, CBD, experimental drugs, alcohol, cocktails, beer bashes, wine nights, things like that. And so they've been sending me a lot of what they call edibles.
Eatables.
I
love those.
Edibles? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to
pronounce them. Yeah, I think it's edibles. Because you eat them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So these CBD edibles and these cannabis edibles.
Yeah.
Because they're always like, you know, Uncle Marv, like, you're so responsible. You got to unbutton a little bit. You got to unwind, you know. So Gabrielle and Desiree, those are my nieces. They'll send me these edibles through the mail, which gets me a little nervous, you know, because I grew up, you know, I was born a long time ago.
Don't you dare. Edibles... You were born a reasonable amount of time ago. Don't you be so hard on yourself. Not on my watch.
That's kind of you. But these edibles, you know, they can give you paranoia.
Right.
They can give you a different kind of anxiety. So, you know, I'll eat some of these, you know, I'll take a long nap or, you know, I'll sleep for 10, 11 hours.
Right.
I'll wake up and I'll text my nieces on the group chain. You know, I don't know if these edibles are for me. And ladies, if you're mixing these, you know, with your Cosmopolitans, you know, and your lagers and your IPAs and you know, your Pinots and your Sangioveses and whatever it is, your blunts or your bong pieces and things like that. Huh. This, you know, you're going to need to sober up and clear your mind a little bit.
Right.
Was one of those a salami? Was one of those a salami that you said? Sangiovese?
Sangiovese, I believe. I think that's an Italian red wine.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. In my mind, I was like, what's a salami doing in there? But you know me.
I love those little. Okay.
That's what they tell me on the group text chain. So I've always said, you know, I just want you girls to be responsible, have a good time. There's nothing wrong with blowing off steam, but please send me a picture of every single cocktail, alcohol, substance that you're doing so that I can just kind of keep track.
Do they do that for you?
Yeah, they'll send pictures and videos of what they're drinking, what they're smoking, what they're eating, eatable wise. So
see, now that's not a funcle. Huh. That's a responsible uncle, because you are being, look at the care and the consideration that you're putting into nurturing this relationship that you have with your nieces.
Yeah, that's really nice. I mean, do they ever send you by accident? Never mind. I shouldn't say that, but I just imagine they're out, they're having a good time and they're taking pictures and maybe you get an accidental, you know, they accidentally sent you some.
Nakeds?
I guess I am talking about nakeds, you know, or, you know, I don't know why I asked that, because that's very inappropriate. And if they have, you shouldn't tell me. And you, because it was an accident, right? Yeah.
Well, thankfully, I can answer honestly. They've never sent me any nakeds.
Oh, that's
okay. But every once in a while, I'll get a selfie video, you know, and Gabrielle's like, Uncle Marv, we're having a good time. Yeah. But then my niece Desiree is behind, you know, making out with some co-ed or something like that.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, I pick up clues from the photos and the videos that I get. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, right. That's so nice that they send them to you. I do want to go back real quickly to you working at Home Depot, because, you know, it was so interesting, because once we talked to you for a little bit and we found out your compliments were real, and then I said, I won't know how to put this into the wall, you came right to my house. And I have to tell you, I hadn't had a strange man in my house. I don't know how long it had been. And I felt so safe. You know, normally I wouldn't turn my back on someone. You know, I'd leave the front door open and the back door open, so I have two means of exit if there's a strange man in my house. But neither. Smart. I didn't do either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just get really worried, because I think most people that don't understand wall fixtures, they're just going to put a nail into it. And then eventually the weight and gravity of the wall fixture is going to pull it down. It's going to pop out and break on the ground. Plus leave a nasty little hole in the wall.
Yeah.
You got to do an anchor. Right?
And you got to find the stud. So,
I think she found the stud. I think she found the stud that day.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Now I'm glad it didn't work out, you know, because I did. I said, well, I'm going to make, grilled cheese and tomato soup for dinner if you wanted to stay over. And then you kept saying that you had to go. And I said, no, you don't. And then we tussled a little bit, but I wasn't angry and upset, and you weren't angry and upset. And here we have this beautiful friendship, you know, which is nice.
You know, sometimes the best friendships come out of extreme sexual tension.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, and I'm glad we still have that, because it makes me feel, you know, alive. And
yeah, that's how I knew something was up, because I normally Pat would say, like, hey, Megs, do you want to come over? Because I'm a little unsure, because, you know, this nice guy from Home Depot is coming over my house. So normally I would have been there. Instead, she just kept me on speakerphone. Did you even know I was on speakerphone?
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have told you. Yeah, I didn't tell you. Yeah. But that was just in case. But also, it was in case things went sideways and you killed me. Or, you know, we share a lot of things. Or if things had gone the other way, I wanted Megs to hear how it goes. Because I've tried to explain sometimes how I like to do it. And she doesn't really get it. But I think if she listened, she'd get it. You know, it's hard to explain it. I don't know why it's so important to me that Megs understands how it goes with me. But I just wanted to understand it. You know what I mean?
Now, question for you, Pat. So when you're being intimate with someone, are you are you kind of narrating all the positions so that if it's audio only, someone gets a proper visual picture?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes. Yeah. Well, I like to talk about what's happening, because it's like I'm giving myself consent. You know, I like to think I'm already giving consent. So I'm just calling it out loud. I'm not surprised. You know, I'm trying to really keep an eye on all the angles and what's going on.
By the way, if you were listening to this podcast and you thought, who needs to give themselves consent? Everyone should be giving consent. If you're in a sexual situation, every single person involved should be giving themselves and the other person consent. Thank you.
That's right. Yeah.
It maximizes intimacy and eroticism as well.
And also, I've been with people before that they think they're doing one thing, but I'm receiving it completely differently. I mean, they may think, well, here it comes in this one place. And I'm thinking, that's not where you're at. So I just say it out loud. This is where you are. It's almost like, who are those people who land planes?
Oh, these guys?
Air traffic controllers.
Oh, yeah. No, Megs, you were close, but air traffic controller. Oh, and okay, this is more, where do you put the plane? I'm talking about bringing it in. Well, yeah, ground crew. But also, that movie, remember Pushing Rin-Tin-Tin? So you have to tell them, like I'm saying, this is what's happening to me currently. Just so we're all on the same page and you get it. You know, you get in a weird angle and you can't see anything. You don't know where it's going. You're hoping for the best.
Yeah,
because your head's up here, you know. Yeah, I do the same thing. You know, I'll be like, I'm on top. Everything's going well for me. You know, things like that.
I think communication is very important. Now, it has been so long since that has happened to me that I can't. I'm a talker. I'm sure nobody's surprised. When I talk, I'm chatty. But it's been so long that Pat was like, no, this is what happens. And I was like, I don't believe it. So she was like, no, listen.
Yeah.
So that's why I got to be on that call. And, you know, that's friendship is what that is. Each one teach one.
I love that. Well, it didn't work out, but it worked out for me. Because the sconce, Mav, when you say I was just going to put a nail, and I'm not talking a real nail. I'm talking one of those thin little nails. I would have put the scone in the wall. It would have sat there. I would hit my head 80 times. It would have fallen out. And I would have been like, well, that's a wrap. I just live in darkness. You know what I mean?
One of those little picture frame nails that you put in a like a picture frame holder.
So tiny.
You would put that in the fixture.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have fallen out. You wouldn't have hit it 80 times. You probably would have bumped it once and it would have crashed down on your head. It would have knocked you out. You might have bled out for a little while, hopefully survived, been able to call 911 when you came to.
Who's to
I would have been there. If you had still had me on speaker there, I would have been there right away.
Right.
Oh, that's true.
Now, but you do so much handymanning, you know?
Yeah.
Because I know Home Depot doesn't pay much because they're awful. Boy, they're the worst. Now, so you're going into a lot of homes and handymanning. Have you ever been in another situation where a woman said, why don't you come hang my scone? And then they kind of wanted you to have dinner?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's why everything was above board with you, Pat, because I've been in that situation many times and I've been seduced, you know, too many times to remember.
Whoa.
I draw firm boundaries now.
Would you take us through one of those scenarios? Because I know when you came up to hang up my door knockers, which that we did put two on. So because, I love it with the two of us were laughing and laughing because I said, I would tell them, put up my knockers.
Oh, yeah. For 5 minutes we were standing there and I would say, nice door knockers. Then you'd point to them and you'd say, do you like my door knockers? And then I'd laugh. Yeah. And then I'd say, I couldn't help but notice your door knockers. And then you'd laugh.
And then I'd say something like, hey, you ever seen a pair of door knockers like this? And then we'd laugh. Yeah.
And then I'd say, do you mind if I test both of your door knockers out?
Yeah.
And that was the afternoon she was supposed to pick me up. I had oral surgery and she never came. And then she told me this story, just like you're telling it now. And I was like, worth it. You know?
Yeah. But I did feel real bad. And then after you left, I finally looked at my phone because I didn't put you on speakerphone for that because I wasn't even thinking.
Right.
Anything was going to happen. Because once Pat sets her sights on somebody, I say, that's for Pat.
Not the first time I've heard I had oral surgery, but she never came. But anyway.
Oh.
Was that a sexual menudo? It was the sexual menudo you just did?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was so funny. Yeah.
It felt tame enough for me to throw it out there, ladies.
I love stuff like that. You know, we're famously a sex positive podcast. So I love, I hope it's okay, Mav, but if anyone's listening to this, please use it. That's fun. I bet it's fun for all the people in your life who do dental work.
That's nice too. That's a pretty risque thing to say as well.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I'm not sure.
I think that was sexual. That sounded sexual to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I'm going to assume that it was because I'm still not sure.
So I can walk you through one of these examples of, earlier, probably starting 5 years ago, I caught on to what was happening after I'd been seduced, for the, 65th, 70th time in one of these homes.
Holy cow.
But usually, I would come in and, I'm fixing the toilet and someone would be like, can you stick around and work on some more pipes? Are those the only pipes that you're going to be laying? Are you interested in cleaning out some other pipes? Things like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then, naturally, because I want to make a little extra cash, I'd say, yeah, I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
It's almost like I wouldn't know what was happening.
Sure.
Okay. So I was just going to say, so point of clarification here, when they would say, can you clean out these pipes? You thought they meant literally, will you clean out these pipes? So you were like, yeah, I'll take your money for that. And then did you then have intercourse with people or no?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Because then after I would say yes, they would say, I'm talking sexually. And I'd be like, well, I already said yes.
You're a man of your word.
Yeah. You're a professional,
And everyone knows I'm an honorable professional, So I honor my word. So, sometimes I was taking one for the team. Sometimes I was, pleasantly surprised. But either way, I was spreading joy. I was spreading positivity. And everyone left satisfied.
Oh, good for you. That's not easy to get everyone getting off. You know what I mean? That's not easy. Yeah. That's because everyone's different. Everyone's built just a little differently, a little crooked. You know, sometimes it's a little more to the front. Sometimes it's a little more to the back.
Yeah, sometimes it's a full-on Picasso down there and you don't know what you're working with.
Right.
But, you know, that's the problem that every handyman comes across. You know, you got to solve the problem that you're faced with, not the problem that you want.
My God, that's so wise.
That's really good. And I can imagine it's like almost like wiring, right? Because you don't know what's in the walls and you don't know what's in the pants. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to figure out which wire goes where to create electricity.
That's right. That is exactly right.
Wow, that was on the nose. That was on the nose. That was so good.
I hope not too on the nose, but you know, I try to leave a satisfied customer behind.
I bet you did.
I can't tell if we stopped talking about sex yet, but you know what? I have no idea. I don't know.
Did we?
Marv?
No, I think we were still talking sexually.
Okay. That's how I took it. Because you remember that movie where the one kid is a nerd and then he learns the dance that's the African anteater ritual and he's a pizza boy? Is this two different movies? It might be two different movies now that I think about it, but they both got Patrick Dempsey in them. But then he becomes real popular. And then people started ordering the pizzas. You know, is that you? Once word got out, were people like, I'm going to request Uncle Marv.
Now, wait.
I'm going to need a little more information about that movie or movies.
They both had Dr. McDreamy in them, and they were both about him being nerdy and then being cool all of a sudden because he becomes a Lothario in one and he becomes a very popular guy in the other. And now I realize it is two separate movies just based on what I said, but they both got Patrick Dempsey in them. So is this that?
I don't think this is that, but I have seen screenshots of like that Nextdoor app. You know?
Oh my God.
Oh, that's better than Facebook, which I hate.
Yeah. But it's pretty graphic, you know, like a lot of people saying like you should get this handyman Marv to come by and then just like graphic explanations of what happened.
Oh, you know, I got to get on that.
He fixed a leak in my tub. and he plugged a few other holes as well. Things like
my
things
God. I only know of the other one.
Most people have you know, two or three holes.
Yeah, between two and three. You know, one time I dated a guy who got in a bicycle accident and he had more.
Oh, really?
Oh God, they just left it?
Well, they couldn't. It was just, you know how sometimes you can't fix it? Yeah. That was it. But I mean, the four weren't meant for sex. The new ones were not supposed to be used for sex at all.
Wow, so he got two extra holes?
Yeah, and he said you can't sex them. And I thought, well, you don't know that for sure. They might just tell you that.
So those new holes came from the accident. It's not like someone said, I'm going to drill this guy a new asshole or something like that.
No, I don't think anyone said that to him at all. You know, he was doing mountain biking or biking, you know, and he fell on those, you know, pointy rocks, small pointy, almost like gravels. He fell on that and it went right. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, you know, but it didn't really affect his life that much, except when I said, we should try it. You never know. You never know what an erroneous zone is until you try. You just don't.
Did it end up that erroneous zone?
He said he felt scared, but not in the sex way.
So maybe it was an erroneous zone.
I think it was.
Accepting.
You only go around once. If I woke up tomorrow and I had about three or four more holes, you know what I wouldn't say to someone? Don't sex that part. I don't know. What if it's the best thing that ever happened to me? Oh, my God. I'm telling you, I really feel that way. You get a little older, and I am saying this to the world. I've said a lot of things I shouldn't have said to the world, but I say it on this podcast. Go for it. Go for it. What's the worst that's going to happen? Another hole springs up? So be it.
Right. You know what? That's called making the best of a situation is what that is. You know?
He also lost his four front teeth.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Wow. So let me get this straight. He kept the holes and he just kept them teeth fall right out? Or did they put new fake teeth in there?
He got because one of those, what do you call it? A plate. He got a plate. Yeah. He got like that. Do you know what I mean? When they
he could pop it in and out.
Like hockey player teeth where they could do that just to mess with you.
Yeah, but that's usually because they took a puck to the mouth or they face dived on the hard ice.
Right. He fell off a bike.
Yeah, so was this like a BMX bike, like a dirt bike?
Oh, no, it was his work bike. He delivered sandwiches for Jimmy John's. Yeah.
I hate that company. Let's call him James Jonathan's. That's too much for me. Don't give them any.
Yeah, you know, like the free smells? Oh God, no.
But also, that guy's got to be a bastard.
He used to wear that shirt, biking, delivering sandwiches, free smells, and you wouldn't believe the perverts who chased him. Because a lot of people don't know that's a slogan for that company, and he's carrying hot sandwiches. And a couple weirdos. Well, that's how he did fall down, because he was riding in a development. You know, when there's a new development and it's construction, all the shop rocks, people are following because he's wearing a t-shirt that says free smells. And he's got a couple coming right after him. One of them was wearing one of those long dusters and they were chasing him. Then he fell off the bike, got his holes, his teeth came out. And guess what? No health insurance through James Jonathan.
That's too bad. But, you know, I mean, that's where the perverts hang out, in new developments, you know, because they always think it's going to be the rebirth of a new society, which allows them to be a full pervert. And then they have to find out the hard way. Nope, the same rules apply.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is you got to check new developments. You're so right. Let this be a word of warning. If you listen to this podcast and you thought, I'm going to go hang around new developments, you're so right, Marv, because they think like, oh, nobody knows me here too. Even if the rules haven't changed, nobody knows me here. That's why you got to always check, because they're walking around a model home in a new development. They're just waiting to perv on somebody. You got to always be careful.
Hey, here's something else, ladies. Did you know that if you leave a pineapple out, that means that you're a swinger?
Wait a second. This is interesting, because my sister's got a pineapple on top of a mailbox. It's like out of wood, but does that mean my sister's a swinger?
Yeah.
No, she probably took a choice to decorate her mailbox that way without knowing. But other swingers are driving by and saying, hey, swingers live there. So you might want to let her know that.
Oh,
okay.
So they're putting it out there and they're just letting people know, hey, come on by. Is that how it works? Marv, you're more plugged into this.
I hate to be like this because it is literally low hanging fruit, but they're just doling it out.
Oh.
Do you get it?
Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good.
Are you seeing this, Marv, at Home Depot? Is that what you're saying? That people are coming in saying, I got to replace my mailbox, or I need a scone-shaped light outside that looks like a pineapple?
Well, I found out on one of my handyman trips, you know, where I was like, hey, nice pineapple outside, you know, and the next thing you know, like I'm saying yes, and I'm part of a thruple. You know, I'm getting both ends worked. Just trying to get out after having done a good job, you know. I'm just trying to fix the banister on someone's staircase, and you know, next thing I know,
and they're trying to slide down yours.
Yeah, they're sliding up and down mine.
If that's what you wanted, we make no judgments here. This is famously a sex positive podcast, so we applaud that kind of behavior if that's what you're into, whatever, you know, whatever floods your butt around here. But what we want to say is you have full autonomy, right?
Yes.
Do you?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, that took
You know, I know how to say, I know how to extricate myself from a complicated situation, you know, but at the same time, if I say yes, and I feel like I'm a man of my word and I need to follow through, you know, I'm not opposed to new experiences.
Were they like, go ahead, extricate yourself, and then we'll just watch.
Extricate, implicate, you know.
In and out.
Yeah.
In and out. Yeah.
Are you supposed to be tipping handyman?
I think so.
Oh.
When I'm not tipped, I feel a little disrespected.
Okay.
Well, especially if you just put out like crazy, huh?
Yeah.
No kidding. I remember leaving that one and they didn't pay me for the job. They only tipped me. And I said, just the tip? Thanks a lot.
Did you give them just the tip, or did you give them?
No, they gave me just the tip.
Oh. Oh.
I gave them anything. I gave them everything. They slid up and down on my. You know, copper banister.
Huh. Yeah. You know, if you're listening to this, which you must be, because we have at least 15 listeners.
Right.
What are you doing not tipping?
You are listening to this.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, newsflash, you are listening to this.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Because here's the thing. Don't half-ass it. If you're listening to this, listen to this.
Yeah.
Tip. If you're not listening, you need to tip. If you're not listening to this, you need to tip. But if you're not listening to this, you're not listening to this.
That's true. Right? They'll never get it. Right.
They won't get it
if you're not listening to this.
If you're not listening to this, it's something wrong with you, because this is a great podcast.
Exactly.
Well, so good.
I'm glad that we know that. You know, I've been so confused. Now, I haven't left the house in almost 3 years or whatever it is now. Mm-hmm. But you know, do you ever hear that when you go to a hotel, you're supposed to tip the people, the beautiful people who come and clean your hotel room? Mm-hmm. Do you guys know this?
Yeah, I do it.
Oh, I didn't know that for the longest time, right? And I am making a mess in there. I mean, when I go to a hotel room, I eat on the bed. You know, I use it like a giant table and I just sit there. And you know, you can't make anything even. So those little ketchups are going everywhere. I have felt awful. I should just make a tour. That's what I should do when all this is over. Take a big trip, go to all the hotels I've ever been to and say, excuse me, I'd like to leave this $20 right here for everyone who works here.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Every hotel room that we have gone to together, every time we've vacationed together, I've let you leave the room. I have cleaned up the bed and left cash on the dresses.
Oh, well, I wish you got to tell me. You can't let me live like this. You can't let me live like this.
Oh my God, no. You're on vacation. I want you to have so much fun. Listen, I stress clean anyway. So you go, you do. I don't know how you never notice that. I'm always like, oh my God, I forgot something in the room. Hold on. I got to go back. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, I come downstairs, but you are good. You're covered. I got you.
But don't you think, now, Marv, do you feel this way? One day someone's going to kill me. Someone's going to kill me over the tip. And that's good. What I'm telling you, they should chase you down. In this society, you cannot not tip. And I just feel like now that I know, I'm going to tip everybody. I don't care. Look at me twice. Here's $5. I think that's okay.
You're not wrong. The way things are going, odds are if you don't tip someone, they're going to hunt you down and kill you. But that's why you always cover your bases, you know? You got to have cash on hand, even in this COVID time, you know?
Yeah. If you're listening to this and you are not tipping, and I mean 20-25%.
At the minimum.
I'm sorry, it's the minimum. Now I'm going to say to see yourself out if you refuse to do it. I just want you to think about it. And I hate, this is dark to say, but maybe you can't afford to do the thing if you can't tip somebody. And God bless, you know, I am broke as, I have no idea what. I'm broke you know what I mean? So, but only do it if you can tip. That's just the way that it is. There, I said it, I feel much better.
Now, I was talking about something similar to this with my friend Allie, and I thought of a solution. And what do you guys think of this? Only people who are absolute honest to God masochists, and again, no judgment, should work in any kind of service situation, right? This way, when somebody's a real jerk to them, they're like, oh yeah, daddy, treat me like that. Oh. You know what I mean? So they're getting some sort of gratification out of it. But instead of a person who's just trying to make a living, who you're mistreating. So I thought there should be some sort of service that pairs absolute masochists. Is that the right word? People who like to be?
I think so.
No, man. I'm using it wrong. Am I using it wrong?
No, I think you're right. But let's follow this through a little bit, because then I think the service industry would attract only perverted masochists who are not concerned about doing a good job while serving you, you know? Because then people would be like, what the hell? This isn't what I ordered. And they'd be like, yeah, daddy, it's not.
Right. I would. Oh my God. That's a restaurant.
Right.
We like that restaurant, Marv. You know that restaurant?
Dickheads.
You know that restaurant, Dickheads?
Love Dickheads.
Yeah,
love
see, Dickheads. You like it. So maybe this is just a different restaurant concept where everything's broken. They're mean to you, you're mean to them. No one gets the food they want. And it's just a night out. You know, it's like a third date. Yeah. You know, see how they receive this information. Now, I don't want to go there. No, thank you. Because I can't eat spicy anymore. And I know they'd bring me spicy. And then I'd have to use the bathroom, a public bathroom.
Oh, Dickheads is all spicy now?
No, this place I made up.
Sorry, I haven't been to Dickheads in a while.
I haven't either. Can you imagine? God. Imagine going there right now during the pandemic and imagine the souls lost in that place. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the pandemic. I'm going to take my family to Dickheads. I mean, take a snapshot. By the way, if you work at Dickheads, please email us at thosewhohand@gmail.com. Tell us everything that's happening there these days.
Yeah. And now I'm looking back on it. And what's the right word? Not the one who likes to take abuse. Is that a masochist? Am I so wrong? Yeah. That is a masochist.
Yeah.
Okay. Because don't you think, like, if somebody's like, I'm going to have you fired. And they're like, oh yeah, fire me. Doesn't it fit? But you're right. Maybe they will be screwed up on purpose. I don't know.
Maybe you need a sadist because they like to be sad.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's sadists and masochists, what you said. And I think the sadists like to be melancholy. And so maybe they would be perfect because they're trying to do a good job, but they're going to be sad. And if you work in retail or in a restaurant, you're going to be sad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's got to be some sort of like headhunter that finds these people that can put them in these jobs so everybody wins.
But then you got these sad, masochists. You know, that have the same things. They're sad and they're masochists.
They're two things.
I've seen that term thrown around. So that is that a sad pervert in that situation?
Is that, you know, hurt people, but the same person?
I'm not really sure. You know, I'm going on a trip pretty soon. I'm going to rent from Hertz Rent-A-Car. So I think my opening line is going to be Hertz people.
Yeah.
And, I'll throw that out there. I'll see what kind of reaction that gets. Maybe I'll record that. That'd be fun.
That would be so, I'm just laughing, thinking about it right now. It'd be so much fun. Okay.
And the look on their face when they see what you say.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You got to record the look on their face.
I'll do it when I get the bill. I'll be like, geez, seems like only hurts people. And then I'll record that. I'll send that to Gabrielle and Desiree. Marv, we're partying, or, you know.
Yeah.
Marv, you can't say these kinds of things.
No. So you said that to us. No offense, Desiree, Gabrielle, but that is so funny. Could you put us on a text thread? We don't know how to do it, but if you could put us on one, and it would be so funny. We will give you the exact reaction you're hoping for, because I gotta see that go down in real time.
I hope no one has done this at Hertz before.
I doubt it.
They can't.
And if you're listening to this and you're doing a trip soon and you've decided you're going to use Hertz, please don't use this until Marv can, because it's really his thing. And you know what I mean? And then maybe after you do it. Yeah, it's your thing. Mm-hmm. It's your thing. Yeah, let him have it. I have to keep asking people. And I think people have been really respectful, but so many people have invented things on this podcast. And I beg people, please let them have this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you want to steal something, you could steal the concept. Go to Avis and think of a pun for yourself. Don't steal the Hertz one.
Avis is hard.
That's a really tough one.
Yeah, that's hard. What rhymes with Avis?
Mavis. Remember Meet Mavis Beacon, the typing tutor?
Yeah.
Mavis Staples. You know, there's a lot of things. They can workshop it on their own. Point is, I'm saying, don't take Marv's idea.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
Let him have it. Now, okay, I do want to get into this because I find this fascinating. You know, Tina and Jeremy don't like me, and they never will. And I've made peace with that. You know, I hope that I can kind of conscript them into helping me bathe when I can't move my arms or legs anymore or whatever. But they don't like me.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Well, now we have a backup plan for that, because my nieces, nephews, and niblings have already agreed, and Pat's family too. So if they're going to be bathing me, down the line someday, they're going to be bathing Pat too.
I love that you said that to them. And I'm very grateful. But I have to say this. So you have two nieces who are young women. They're out there living their life, but they're also touching base with you. And I find that really interesting. I'm just very curious. Take us to your happy place. Take us to your nieces here. How do you have this kind of relationship with them? What's a secret?
Well, I also really don't like their stepfather. So I kind of just, I tend to hit that button whenever I'm trying to get in touch with them. You know, like, I bet Ron's being a real piece of crap these days, huh, ladies? I'll be like, yes.
Of course he is, because his name is Ron. What is it with the name Ron? You got to be.
You got to gather information, you know.
Right.
So it's not all about me and telling them, you know, so my happy place is, it's a daydream that I have.
Oh.
It's a daydream that I have. Yeah, I could share that with you. Because
please do.
I have a great time when I'm with Gabrielle and Desiree, you know, and I know that I'm from a different generation. We're not always going to see eye to eye, you know, and sometimes they're really upset when I ask them to send pictures of the cocktails and the drinks that they're having.
Right.
You know, but my daydream is Gabrielle, Desiree, my sister Bonnie, we are at their stepfather Ron's funeral.
Oh,
the field. The sun is shining. You'd think I would say there isn't a dry eye in the house. Actually, they're nothing but dry eyes. Everyone is smiling ear to ear and was saying, you know what? Not only was it his time, but fuck him. And then Gabrielle and Desiree and I high five. You know,
three-way high five.
It's for the best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all go out to eat. We go to, you know, a Greek place for lunch.
That sounds terrific. You know,
that sounds so good.
Doesn't that sound nice?
It's wonderful. Now I'm going to say something, and I want you to take it in the spirit of friendship. You've often mentioned, what if Ron died? Ron has a cold. What if it got really bad and worse? You often said, what if I moved in with Bonnie and fathered those girls? Now, not fathered, like past tense, but fathered going forward. You know, from a casual observer who doesn't know you well, they might think something weird is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to say, one, is there. And two, you are so loved.
You are loved. This is a safe space. You are
this
so loved.
This is a
loved.
Safe space. I know you just care about these people so much, mm-hmm. but you've talked about it so much, not just Ron dying, but moving into the house. Like, oh, I can't believe they don't have a trampoline in the backyard. When I live here, I will put a trampoline, and then you catch yourself and you're like, if I were to move in to take care of stuff.
It's true that I have absolutely let the way that I talk with Gabrielle and Desiree be the way that I talk with everyone else, where I tend to lead with everyone else. I hope my sister's new husband, Ron, dies soon.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that. Yeah. I am guilty of letting everyone in my life know that I hope Ron dies. Mm-hmm. And that's been a misstep. So I appreciate that advice. I got to cool it on that a little bit.
If only for paper trail, and you got to walk it back a little bit, because then people will be like, well, if something mysterious happens, every finger in town will be pointing to you.
And at this point, Ron has to know. There's simply no human way that he doesn't know how you feel.
Right.
So Ron definitely knows. And it's going to be hard for me to walk it back because it's in the signature on my Gmail account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to. That's hard. That's
I wouldn't even know where to begin, how to change that. I don't even know how you did that in the first place.
It's got my cell phone number. It's got www.homedepot.com. And then it's, isn't today a nice day for Ron to die?
How'd you get homedepot.com? Or are you just directing them to your place of work?
Yeah, that's their website, not mine.
Oh, I would have assumed theirs would have been the Home Depot, but I like that it's Home Depot. I thought maybe you got Home Depot because you're a big fan, but I didn't realize, okay, that'll probably reroute right to the Home Depot where you work.
Yeah, no, I that job is out of necessity. I don't actually love the company that much.
Right.
I think you're safe in that email signature. I'm just trying to think about it now because it's not I'm going to kill Ron, which could be my email signature because, you know, Pat's ex-husband's name is Ron and I hate him.
Right.
But today's a good day for Ron to die. That's like having, I feel like pancakes today in your email signature. That's not saying I'm going to do it. That's saying, wouldn't it be great if that just happened?
Right. I love that you're food hearing what I'm food saying. Yeah. Food for thought. Food for thought.
Oh, but I love, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Now, this is just because it's because I'm your friend. And I do want to get to what I think is the core, because that feels like the superficial part is, you know, people know that you don't you want them dead and the whole thing. But the second part to me is fascinating. And that is... Mm-hmm. You love Bonnie, and she is beautiful. She really is. She's beautiful inside and outside. She really is. And I think
she
that
really is. Yeah.
So if something were to happen to Ron, is that something that you would want to do? Would be to move in and help take care of the kids?
I'd want to help take care of the kids. But, you know, the kids are grown. You know, by the time odds are by the time Ron dies, they're going to be adults. They're going to be on their own. Yeah. You know,
right. Well, they're already adults legally. You know, that they're in college, already they adults.
They remind me all the time. Adults.
Yeah.
On the group chain, you know.
Oh, sure.
But let's put this into perspective. I used to live with Bonnie, you know, growing up. We're twins. We lived together until we went off to college and then, home for the summer.
Right.
So we lived together a long time and, we're good at living together. You know, we split up chores really well.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
You guys still do that little language you got, that little twins language.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating in adults. Yeah.
So, you know, we have a bond that most people don't understand and assume is sexual, which I really get it.
I didn't say that.
It felt like you were leaning that way, Pat. Like you think that I want to have sex with Bonnie, but my sister. And I do not. I really don't. I just want a trampoline in the yard for when the kids visit, you know?
Yeah. One time I came by and I just want to say this, and I say this with love. You were getting a couples massage and you said couples can be brother and sister too. Turned heels. I turned around.
A couple of people.
I was on speaker. I heard that.
People.
Right. But I did. Remember, I dropped that sheet cake and I took off.
Yeah.
I don't care whose birthday it is. I can't be here for this. And I again, it's maybe something I don't understand. And if no one's getting hurt, who cares? But I just kind of want to know, you know, just for me, because sometimes I'll lay awake at night, you know, the scone's on and it's looking at me. And all I can think about is Marva Bonnie's, you know, what's happening right now?
Well, I'm not at Bonnie's if Ron's there. If Ron's out of town, I'm at Bonnie's because we're just a couple of people, you know, hanging out. But Pat, here's a question I'll put to you and Max. You know, you've overheard a lot of these conversations. You've seen what's going on. Is there something in maybe the rejection that you've suffered at my hands that makes you think that I want to have sex with my twin sister, Bonnie?
I don't know.
Is there a little bit of projection there?
I don't know. Maybe. I've never projected. As far as I know, I've never projected, but I might be. And I may have. And that could be happening. And
I think, okay.
I think it's a little of column A, little of column B, if I'm being fully honest, you know. And also, what flavor was that sheet cake?
Oh, white.
Oh, it's a good flavor.
My favorite kind of cake.
I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want you to know, is it a little interesting that, you know, Pat showed up for, you know, a birthday party hours early and there was an interrupted couples massage, brother, sister going on? Yeah, that's odd. Anyway, you slice it, when you're the outsider looking in, any number of these scenarios is an interesting, it's an interesting scenario, any number of them, right? So I don't want to take sides here. I want you to both know that from any point of view, everything's a little suspect. All around.
I'm going to cop to something, okay? I did feel a little bit rejected, and I know that we're friends and I shouldn't bring it up. And you asked me before we did the podcast today, please don't bring this up. Please, I'm begging you, don't say any of the things that you're thinking. And yes, did I break? But I can't help it. I do feel a bit rejected. I don't understand. I don't really get it. You were at my place. You didn't even give it a chance. And by the way, I make the best tomato soup grilled cheese sandwiches. But two, I'm sorry. I just have to say, I want a clean slate. I want to be really clear. I would love it. You know, I would actually love it if you told me one day I'm going to marry Bonnie, because then I could really close the chapter. I could close the book. I could turn the page, if you will.
Yeah.
But the fact, it feels like a tease. You know what I mean? Am I supposed to be figuring this out? Am I supposed to be stopping something? Am I supposed to be starting something? I don't understand. You know what I mean?
It feels like that one book. What's the one with Tom Hanks's hair is crazy? What's that one book?
Oh, Castaway.
The one about the one about with the church and stuff.
Oh,
the paint, the big.
Yeah, big.
And it's feels like that, where there's something we gotta, you know,
right,
figure out. We gotta ask Zoltan, Pat, what's the hell's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Pat, I just gotta say, I think that you can accept this, you know, you can heal your wounded pride without needing to hear me say I want to marry my sister. Okay.
Well, you kind of did just say it.
No, I didn't say it. I don't want to marry my
sister. That's true. He did just say it.
Pat doesn't need that to bury the hatchet.
Yeah. All right? But now that I've heard it, I do feel better.
Yeah. See?
Okay.
Ugh.
Well, I
you know what? Thank you. Right. I didn't expect, I thought you'd be mad at me, but now that you said it, thank you. That's all I needed to hear. Because I can't be involved with this. I don't want to be involved anywhere near this. Because this is, and God bless, whatever blows your hair back, no one's getting hurt.
Listen, the two of you, I need you to know, I'm confused. So if this is the time to clear the air, so be it. I'm confused as to why you would so willingly have sexual intercourse with so many other customers, but not Pat. Because she's the best. I'll tell you right now, she's my best friend.
Oh.
She is perfect. She is so wonderful. Oh. She's such a good, she does. I don't even like tomato soup, but she does make the best tomato soup and grilled cheese. She's wonderful. She is thoughtful. She treats a whole bed in a hotel room like a table, and that's very fun. So I want you to think twice about marrying your sister, because what's going on?
I'm not marry my sister.
Well, I don't think legally you can, but you can be with her. And I want that for you. I'm happy for you both. I really, truly am. I feel released. You know when someone goes to prison for stalking and they were stalking you? That's what this feels like. When they're stalking you, you think I'm very flattered, but when they finally go to prison, you think that's enough. And that's exactly how I feel right now. I'm let off the hook. And I, you know, honestly, who's to judge? Who's to say? You're twins. And that's self-care almost, or what is it called? If you love yourself, that's great.
Look, ladies, I don't know where to begin. All right. Whatever it takes, Pat, for you to feel like this chapter is closed. You can stop texting me. Please come by to dip your hot grilled cheese in my bottomless soup.
Yep.
That would help me close the chapter on my end.
Okay.
Everything's fine. But if you see me around town with Bonnie, remember, she's my sister. I care about her very much. I'm not trying to marry her.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I just not trying to marry my sister.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
If Ron dies, I think we'll all rejoice. That doesn't mean I'm going to kill him. And that doesn't mean I'm going to move into their house afterwards.
But that second half, it does. You would.
Yeah, you would.
Well, yeah, to cut down on rent and, you know, be together as a family.
Right. Yeah. Well, I feel like we really cleared this up. At least on my end, I feel clean as a whistle. I really do. And so I think that's terrific. And I'm glad we got to the bottom of it. And you know what? I will say this. When you came in and first put those scones in, I was talking a lot about how I was wearing my period underwear. And so in my mind, that's on me. I had just gotten that new period underwear and I was telling you all about it, that it doesn't feel like a diaper. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It feels like regular underwear.
You couldn't hear me. You couldn't hear me because I had muted myself. I didn't know I had muted myself, but I was screaming, stop that. Stop saying that. Don't talk about your thinks. I kept screaming.
That has worked on some people though. They're like, let me look at it. And I'm like, I'm going to show you.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work on me.
No, it didn't. It didn't. It really didn't. But you know, I'm not your type, Marv. If you know what I mean, I'm not your type. And that's okay. That's all right.
Listen, this is not a place for conflict. This is only a place for love and support and giving. And I want everybody to know this is okay. Everything that's happening is okay. Sometimes it's very wrong, but it's also okay. I would be remiss personally if I didn't bring up, look, we've all got our thing. Everybody's got their own thing. You know, call it dirty laundry, call it what you want. Okay, you might be in love with your twin sister. Hey, you know what? You came from the same.
Charity starts at home. You know, 'tis the season.
Yes, you came from the same embryo. It's split into two.
Who among us, if you're a twin, you telling me you've never thought it once, not one time? You have never thought one time. I can only imagine that's got to be a really weird trip, right?
Yeah.
So I just, 100%. So if you're thinking you're so high and mighty and you're thinking, oh, Marv, you need to talk to someone about this. Oh, biologically and scientifically, legally in every aspect, this is wrong. You can see yourself. You can stay in this podcast, actually. You can stay. But you know, listen to Marv and learn something from Marv, because what bravery to really say this out loud, to accept it and to acknowledge it. I think that's, and you know, the girls are going to hear this, or they won't. They probably won't because they're too young and no one listens
to
this that much.
They're too young and nobody will ever hear this. That's, if you're feeling nervous about this, Mop, just know that we got about 15 listeners on this podcast and they're all ants. And you know what an ant doesn't do? Judge.
A little bit.
All right.
Only a little.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that the three of us are good and we're moving on to the next chapter in, you know, our friendships. But just for the record, again, everything that Pat just said is not something that I believe or have ever spoken out loud, and legally, that needs to be clear.
Oh yeah. I'm glad you covered your bases legally. Legally. Yeah.
You're winking at me. Stop winking at me.
I've learned, I'm not really winking at you because I know what you like, and it's, you know, I'm not it, you know, that's good. I'm just saying, I acknowledge legally that you've cleared yourself up legally. And I think that's terrific.
Yeah. Well, we all have to pass a polygraph. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm happy to pass a polygraph. But, you know, if someone were to ask Pat here, you know, do you send Marv selfies of you in a blonde wig saying, hi, it's me, Bonnie. Do you want to come over? You know, and she says, no, I didn't do that. She's not going to pass that polygraph.
I'll ask her right now, Pat.
Yeah.
This is very real because this is news to me, Marv. I gotta tell you, this is news to me. Do you send Marv selfies of yourself in a blonde wig saying, this is Bonnie, come over?
Yes, I have in the past. I have. Now, I didn't share that with you because,
Pat,
you know, Colombio, you know how he said,
Do your impression. You gotta hear this. Right, do your impression of Colombio. Go.
Wait another thing. So, and this was my way of figuring out what was going on. Cause I thought, well, if I hear back, oh, wow, this is doing it for me. Now, Marv, I mean this, cause you're an attractive, kind, wonderful person. You're a friend.
That is true.
If you were just kind of attracted to a type that's like your sister, I think we could have made it work. But, you know, I just feel like I can't be, you know, I could only take it so far. So I did do those things, you know, and Marv said, you know, Marv, I will say, you said one of them, you said, because you couldn't see my face in it, it was just behind. It was a wig and behind. And he loved that one. And then you said no more, which was right. That's exactly right. I don't know, you know,
Well, that was one of your nakeds, you know.
Oh, I
to
did.
Put you down. I wanted to be kind about your nakeds.
Yeah.
So I said that's nice. Please stop sending this. You know.
You did. You wrote first. You said that's nice, and then you sent it, and then you said please stop sending it. Just two separate ones.
Okay. Well, I didn't have a change of heart. I just wanted you to feel good and receive that message and have a little boost.
Oh, I did feel good.
For any other ladies out there that might be interested in me, I just want you to know what's definitely not my type is someone who repeatedly tells me I want to have sex with my sister. So
now wait, is the person saying, if I were to say to you, I want to have sex with my sister, that would be a turnoff for you.
No, I don't care. You got to deal with that on your own. What I'm saying is if someone says, hey, Marv, you want to have sex with your sister, I'm going to be like, guess what? You're not my type.
Okay.
I've only intimated it. I've never said it out loud. I've never said that today.
Oh my gosh, you do such good intimidations, though. Do your intimation of Columbia again.
Oh, add another thing.
Oh, so good, isn't it?
I love that program. 'Tis the season. I like to watch Columbia this time of year. I don't care what anybody else says. It makes me feel like I'm home. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say this, Marv. I love you. You're my dear friend. I would never, ever want to hurt you. If you want to say all the things, you know, you've said repeatedly, I don't want to marry Bunny. I don't have sex with Bunny. That's terrific. And whatever is in your heart is totally fine.
That's what's in my heart.
Okay.
Good. We love that for you. Whatever your journey.
That's my, you know. Yeah. It was a very simple journey to understand. There were just a lot of intimations that, you know, claimed otherwise.
Okay.
So we kind of went in a circle here, ladies. We went in a circle.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, right back to where we started from, which Pat, is a problem.
Now, did you feel like Pat was being a circle jerk?
Pat was circle jerking me around for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think definitely.
I would be lying if I said my feelings weren't just a little bit hurt, because I haven't ever sent nakeds before. And I had a little bit, which I didn't realize until after I sent it, that I had a little bra fat. You know, I took off my bra, but the fat hung there, you know, like
a
muffin top.
Wait, now stop it. Everybody, listen. Everybody is beautiful. We love your body. If you're listening to this and you think Pat is body shaming, she's not.
No,
everybody is beautiful.
It's a science question. Why did my bra fat that comes over the back of my bra, why did it stay there? So I guess my feelings were just a little bit, you know, I just was having a down day. And I think, you know, Marv, I don't put myself out there very often. So
yeah.
I get it. You're not interested. And you know what? That's totally okay. And I'm not for everybody. And you're only for one person. And I understand that. And I'm going to let it alone. I'm not going to bother you anymore. And I hope that you two are so happy, Pat, as brother and sister.
Good. Okay. Because I'm not trying to end up with Bonnie romantically, you know.
But yeah.
I'll put it to you. What if I dressed up as your ex Ron and I was sending you nakeds of myself?
Oh, my God. You know? Now I got to tell you, and this is going to make Megs upset. Bring him on.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I should have stopped that before it started. I knew that was going down the wrong path.
I'm not
going
to do that. I'm not doing that.
I don't miss him, but I miss him, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had a really crooked one, but man, it tapped a part of me that no one else can tap, because no one goes off like that. You know what I mean? If you go straight ahead, you know what you're running into and everyone knows how it's going to end. But if you tap the side, you know what I mean? You tap the side. You remember like Operation where you're not supposed to touch the side?
Oh, it made your nose light up, huh?
Oh, it definitely made my nose light up. When the tweezers touch the side. Because I don't know.
You know who else has
that's
a light
whole
up
erroneous
nose
zone for me. The whole thing.
You know who else has a light up nose? Rudolph. Rudolph has a light up nose. And this is a time of year where everybody, I don't mean to change the subject so abruptly, but I kind of do, because I don't want to think about Ron bringing anybody pleasure. Okay. He's a horrible bastard man. All right. He's a horrible bastard, man. You have to remember that. I don't care how crooked his penis is. You have to remember, it's not the one for you. All right.
I hope Ron isn't the reason Rudolph's nose is lighting up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I hope. I hope so, too.
We went to a petting zoo one time, and the way he looked at this llama, I was like, excuse me, we can't stay here. He's just petting this llama. Did I ever tell you that story? He was petting it and petting it and petting it. Then he whispered into the llama's ears. And I thought, well, I'll just go. I sat in the car. 90 minutes later, he comes out.
You let him be with that llama for 90 minutes?
It was like he was in a trance. I've never seen him happier. He growled at me.
Oh, something's wrong.
Now,
I'm not saying
I'm not saying that Ron has had sex with animals, but
I'll say it. I will say it. Ron has had sex with animals. I know it in my heart. That story you just told me, that wasn't even the tipping point. The tipping point happened years ago for me. That guy's into animals, and I know it. I know it. I could smell it.
He says he's an animal lover.
He is. Yeah. He is an animal lover.
Himself. He's telling on himself, and you're in a better place.
Yeah. Although llamas, though, you know, then I started looking at them different.
No, you did not. Well, not, don't
in a,
you dare.
Not in a sexual way, but they're so cute with that
they're
hair.
Very cute. Yeah.
They have hair on top of their head between their ears. There's hair there. They have bangs.
Most animals do have that.
No, most animals don't have bangs.
Humans got the idea from animals to get bangs.
To get bangs. Yeah. I finally, you know, Mav, I finally got bangs. I don't know if Bonnie has bangs yet, but you know, you get to a certain point, you get bangs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Bonnie doesn't have bangs. We don't have to go back to Bonnie Pat.
Sorry, I was just curious. I'm asking about her because I care. It's that time of year. You know?
I don't know. No, now it all, I don't want to hear you talk about Bonnie for a little while, if you know what I mean.
Oh, Bonnie's verboten. Got it. I don't want to hurt your feelings. Yeah. Yeah.
I know what you mean. And as somebody who's tried to steer this conversation away from this, I want to say at least 10 times, we have a mantra.
Yes, of course.
And it's very, very important to all of us to hear this mantra that's written by, of course, Carol Doyle. And I just saw one word of this and she has done it again. Now, you don't know this, Mav, but Carol Doyle is the patron saint and poet laureate of this podcast. She writes these little mantras for us. And every week she somehow taps into whatever, what is that word? The Ethernet. Oh. She always taps into the Ethernet of this podcast.
She does have that cord, yeah.
And she always knows. And so this is this week's mantra from, as I said, the patron saint and poet laureate of this podcast. Your aunt is like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Everybody's favorite when no one else can drive.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. That's very responsible. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now that's only some aunts, right? Because some aunts are the first people at a party not able to drive. But this is for the responsible aunt.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's having a great time. Oh, you know, Aunt Bonnie or whatever, you know, she hasn't been drinking. You know, oh, Aunt Bonnie, are you? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, by the way, I'm saying.
You know what? Let's just do this. Let's put a crematorium on the name Bonnie and Ron.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we put a crematorium on it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's cream them both.
All right.
Oh.
I want to say I love you both so much, Mav. We are so happy to have you. And I got to be very 100% honest when I say, I hope the video recorded of this. I really do. I hope.
I think that it did. I saw the little button go off.
I hope it did. Otherwise, see you guys tomorrow. I also do.
It says it's recording right now.
Yeah, but it could just be the audio and who knows.
Oh, so, it's very hard to say until we check later.
I love you both so much. And we want you to have the happiest holiday season, happier than any other person in the world. We want you all to have the happiest holiday season. And we love you so much, Mav. Thank you so much for doing this podcast, for being our guest.
Love you both, ladies. Thank you for having me. I think we worked out some really good stuff.
Yeah. I think so too. Well, I love you, Megs, and I love you, Mav, but I only love you, you know, I love you the right way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I love you so much. Love you, Mav. Love you, Pip.
Love you.
All right. If anybody's listening to this and they want to make a donation to a very good cause, I think Lettuce to Santa is a great cause. And I think it's worth dropping, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000 into this charity just by yourself.
Yeah.
What do you guys say?
Oh, for sure.
Yep.
For
Open
sure.
up your wallet and plop that into the donation. You know, it's a great cause. Everybody loves it. It's one of the most special things that anyone can be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more details
at unconditionalgiving.org.
Is it homedepot.com?
It is. It's homedepot.com. Just log on to that and they'll redirect you. If you love your nieces, nephews, and niblings, imagine how delightful the idea of helping out somebody else's nieces, nephews, and niblings is around this time of year. So I want everybody to think about being charitable and generous. And like I said, all we're asking for is like $10,000 personally from each person. And we'll give these kids a nice Christmas.
Please go to unconditionalgiving.org to donate. Your Aunt Pat is Colleen Doyle. Dana Curcioli is your Auntie Mags. And Uncle Mav was Tim Baltz. Our theme song's by The Q's, and we hope you have a merry holiday season.